Welcome to Conversations on Big Data, a series of discussions with agency leaders about the power of analytics to enhance how federal agencies meet their mission. In this podcast, we'll be discussing the use of data analytics at the Recovery, Accountability, and Transparency Board.
Welcome. I'm Laura Shane, Vice President for Research and Communications at the Partnership for Public Service and one of your hosts for today's podcast. I'm sharing that duty with Brian Murrow, Associate Partner of Strategy and Analytics at IBM. Today, we have the privilege of speaking with Steve Belts, Assistant Director of the Recovery Operations Center of the Recovery, Accountability, and Transparency Board. So, Steve, I understand the Recovery, Accountability, and Transparency Board is known, for better or worse, as the RAT Board.
Correct.
It's a rather interesting moniker.
Yeah, we've embraced it. We have, if you walk around our office, we have stuffed rats and animals and pictures all over the place. So it's something we've had to learn to live with.
So what is its mission and its powers and responsibilities?
Well, we have two main cores to our group here. One is transparency and the other is accountability. And transparency is the piece that is kind of the public-facing side, and that it lets the public go to our website, recovery.gov, and literally drill down to a zip code and find out where the money in the contract, examine the contracts and where the money is going. I'm on the accountability side and managing the Recovery Operations Center, which is analysts, and we analyze both proactively and reactively in support of federal dollars that are going out into the public.
What is ultimately the most important thing that you accomplish?
Well, from the transparency side, we've actually won awards based on how well we set up the transparency piece, because for two different reasons. One is the fact that the recipient, the end recipient of the money, is actually responsible for reporting how they spend it, and they have to report it through our website. And the accountability side, we've developed a very strong analysis unit, and I kind of base it on what I refer to as the three-legged stool. So we've got good analysts, got good data, and we've got good tools. And with those three things, we're able to do some very thorough analysis.
How big is your team, and who do you consider your clients?
Personally, I manage a lab of about 16 people, and our clients are any federal agents that work for the different OIG offices.
And what's the kind of skill profile of your particular team?
It's really all over the board. Myself, I come from a law enforcement background, retired from the Washington State Patrol. And my background came from computer forensics. But a lot of my analysts come with banking backgrounds, a little bit of law enforcement, financial. It really is an interesting mix.
In terms of your clients, how do you work with them?
A couple different ways. We started off being proactive with the ARRA funds, the stimulus funds that went out. Then they try to make sure that the money is being spent properly, but the money has already gone out. Where in this case, we tried to set up a monitoring before the money went out and be able to do like a thorough check of the companies that were getting the money in the first place. And that worked out very, very well. The fraud rate, as best we can determine, was at a very low-end scale, unprecedented as far as federal government is concerned. But as the money rolls out, proactive investigations later change into reactive investigations, and that's normal cycle of any law enforcement-type support.
Right.
Fraud, waste, and abuse is our basic foundation.
From the grant recipients.
Well. Yes, grants, loans, contracts, pretty much anything out there. We got really good at this analysis process, so Congress opened up our mandate to help any federal OIG that's investigating anything where, one, the federal government is the victim, and two, there's possible dollar loss. It worked out very well.
Yeah.
Keeps us very busy, too.
I would imagine.
Okay. What are some examples of how you've helped federal investigators use the data for those purposes?
I kind of teased my analysts a little bit because I'll explain to whoever I'm giving briefings to that they get to draw pictures for a living. And so it's exactly what they're doing. They're taking large amounts of data and trying to make sense of it. We analyze data in two different ways. Usually we'll get an agent that comes to us and says, hey, we're investigating Joe Smith and Roger X, whatever, and they belong to company Y. Can you tell us about them? What are they up to? We're just starting our investigation. They may have gotten a complaint or something like that. So we'll look into open source data, commercial data sets, law enforcement data sets, and start building a picture of what these two are about and the history of their company, what companies they used to come from. And we'll dig up things like, you know, they've been convicted of felonies in the past of misusing federal funds or stealing federal funds, on disbarment lists, bankruptcies, all kinds of different issues that are huge red flags. We're building up from two people, one company, to a whole page of information. We also do breakdowns where we've got agencies that have collected an enormous amount of data and they're not sure how to analyze it. We had one agency that had collected 20,000 lines of data in a spreadsheet format. And they brought it to us and we spent about 2 months looking at it and ended up building really good 6 criminal investigations for them out of that. We were able to find groups, gangs of people that were involved in this particular illegal activity in different parts of the United States.
And then on the transparency part of the equation, you know, you mentioned that the public gets involved.
It's been really interesting. A citizen can be driving down the road in their own neighborhood and they see the ARRA signs, and this project's been funded by stimulus funds. So they go home, open up our website and drill down to the zip code and find that particular contract. And they'll read the contract and it'll say that they're supposed to be doing this, and they just drove by the site and it looks like they're doing that. We have an online reporting system where they can just report it straight from there, or they can call our hotline, and so we get some really good reports out of that.
On the transparency side, what percentage of some of your investigations really came from the tip side of things?
If you were to look at this as a graph, the phone calls and the proactive side of the graph just went straight up as we opened up this kind of ability. Pretty soon the reactive has taken over and it's going straight up. We're giving the agents enough information to go out and do a proper investigation and find the people that they need to talk to and find the money. I was teaching a class down at the FLETC, the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center. One of the agents came up to me and said, "Hey, you helped us with a case about a year ago." I was with the prosecutor and we were interviewing the defendant and the defense attorney. They were using kind of an open-ended question type of interviewing process where they would just let the defendant talk, and the defendant was way off in right field with his conversation and not even close to what they already knew about based on what we've already dug up. So the prosecutor took out of his bag our chart that we made, the link chart of all his relationships and who he's working with and where the money's going, and just kind of slid it across the table to him and said, "Well, you've said this, but this is what we found out." And he said they took an immediate recess and came back and decided they were going to plead guilty. So that's some pretty good information, I think. So, and we hear cases like that on a fairly regular basis.
The rapport was extended for 2 years beyond its original 5-year mandate. Why and what has happened since?
A year ago, in September, we got extended to help support Sandy, Hurricane Sandy dollars. And so a year from now, we will be closing up our shop. But in that meantime, we still support any OIG with any federal investigation.
How can you help agencies build their capacity to do this type of work?
Part of our mandate, besides assisting these agencies with investigations, is we can train them to do what we do. And in the 2 years, a little over 2 years that I've been there, we've had 70 different agencies come through our office. I think there's only 73 OIG agencies in the first place. So just about every office has been to our office, either in the form of support of helping them with their cases or in support of helping them do what we do.
This has been a conversation with Steve Belts, Assistant Director of the Recovery Operations Center of the Recovery Accountability and Transparency Board. I'm Brian Murrow from IBM, here with Laura Shane from the Partnership for Public Service. Join us for the next 2 podcasts in this series on using data for decision making.
These podcasts are presented by the Partnership for Public Service and the IBM Center for the Business of Government. To listen to conversations with other agency leaders, visit ourpublicservice.org/bigdata.